The government has announced some new rules to improve fresh water quality. They've been a long time coming. The policy includes plans to temporarily block further intensification of agriculture, require farmers to keep stock out of all waterways more than 1 metre wide, and introduce a cap on the use of synthetic fertiliser. It also includes new rules for health standards at popular swimming spots and for urban waterways to be cleaned up. Victoria University of Wellington freshwater ecologist Mike Joy is with us now. Kia ora, Mike.
Hi, Jesse.
Been a while since you've been on the show. Been a few years. Thanks for coming on to take a look at these for us. Can we start with the stuff that you like from this announcement?
I like a lot of the rhetoric in it. I like the words that are in there, but there's some really big problems with the implementation of it, because they kind of, and I was part of the Science Technical Advisory Group that advised the minister, and it's pretty gutting for me to see that the numerical, the sort of limits that can be applied have been left out. And so what's in there sounds great, but it's up to the discretion of the councils to apply it. And so we know from history that they're pretty hopeless at doing that. They're easily swayed, they're political organisations, and they just don't make the tough decisions. So this is kind of sounds good, but it's got some huge caps in it.
There are some numbers in there. There's a cap per hectare on the use of synthetic nitrogen fertiliser set initially at 190 kilos per hectare year.
Yeah, that's like an incredibly high rate of fertiliser application. So it's like, saying to somebody who's smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, well, if you cut down to 2.5 packs, we're going to make you cut down to 2.5 packets a day. As if that's going to help the situation. It's a fake kind of thing. Great putting a number in, and maybe that means that they can ramp it down. If you started with a number like that and said, okay, that's it, and then every year you're going to have to reduce that by 10 kg, then it would be useful and meaningful.
Well, they do have a review in 2023, right? So maybe it's 3 years at 190 kilos and then it goes down from there. I'm just thinking of your cigarette analogy. I mean, it is probably easier to go to 2 packets from 3 packets and then eventually to 1 packet and then to 0.
Yeah, but the thing is that it's like cigarettes, it's totally unnecessary. So, this is, and the important thing for people to understand is that nitrogen is that synthetic nitrogen fertilizer. It's made out of fossil fuels, a third from Kapuni or from Taranaki gas, and 2/3 from the Middle East. And so we're making milk out of fossil fuels. And we think back a few decades, we didn't have this. We fixed nitrogen through clover in our pastures naturally, and we had a natural product. And along comes this, industrial process that means that we can, and it's very debatable whether you gain much out of it anyway. And that's the driver of these problems. So in the same way that trying to take a smoker off his addiction of cigarettes for his own good, if we could get farmers off their addiction, and it's mostly the bank managers driving this addiction, then farmers would be better off.
Not just farmers, of course, responsible for dirty waterways. And I see that there is some call for urban waterways to be cleaned up. Have you seen any of the detail around that?
Yeah, I had a look at it. But, sure. Urban waterways are shocking, right? But I need to make it clear right here that 1%, or less than 1% of the length of the waterways in New Zealand are on urban catchments. So, yes, we need to do a lot, and a huge part of that problem there is rundown infrastructure, which means that, about 150-something, around 150 wastewater treatment plants in New Zealand discharge to fresh water, and only 5 of them meet their requirements for in-stream conditions. So, there's a huge failure there, and that's an infrastructure problem. It's a shovel-ready infrastructure problem, but it's not a sexy one, And so, money tends to get spent on roads and, libraries and fancy things, and that core infrastructure we've let run down over decades is the reason for that urban water quality problem. And I don't see that being highlighted in there. This is another example of money and effort being put into cleaning up, but not looking at the source, or, let's buy some more ambulances rather than putting a fence at the top of the cliff, which is, frustrating as well.
Just philosophically, I suppose it would be it might be encouraging to farmers to see the same sort of focus being put on urban waterways, even if they are only 1%. Of course, probably 80% of New Zealanders live in urban areas, and to maybe see townies feeling a bit of the pain, whether it's through extra rates to pay for that infrastructure or extra rules around what they can and can't do in the city, maybe it might give an impression that we're all in this together.
I think we are all in this together, and there is no divide as far as I'm concerned. The farmers are just as much victims in this system as anybody, you know, and town people do need to make a huge effort to up their game and, yeah, put money into the right places. I think that we've shown so many times, there are so many studies showing that farmers can make more money by putting less nitrogen fertiliser on, less of these inputs like palm kernel. We've just got this huge industrial lobby that has so much power in this country that are pushing these products, and they're just totally unnecessary. We're having all this pain being shared, well, being actually not being paid for, being left for future generations, and it's unnecessary.
Why are farmers buying this stuff if it's unnecessary? No one's forcing them to. Presumably, they wouldn't spend money on something they didn't have to.
Well, because the emphasis on making money from capital gains and the influence that bank debt has. I mean, I know many farmers who, when they start trying to do the right thing and reduce nutrient use and buying fertilizer, the first person that's onto them is the bank manager, because the banks think that farms are like a factory, and the more stuff you put in at one end, the more that'll come out the other, and don't understand the reality of limits and the harm that nitrogen does to soils and to waterways and to the animals. And so it's that sort of gap. And from the farmer's point of view, then, you know, having to pay the bills, having huge debt levels, and just having to get, you know, that milk check, and at certain times of the year, boosting growth through nitrogen fertilizer is the trap. But also the farming for capital gains rather than farming for profit, which is a big driver of it too.
You're complaining about a lack of numbers. Here's another number. Better protection for 95% of freshwater species, up from 80% under the previous national policy statement. Is that good news?
Yeah, that's a classic, Jesse. That's a classic. That's the toxicity limit. And as I've said numerous times, fish can't die twice. So what they're talking about is under the toxic limit. So if you, in a lab, you put a tank of water, you hold the, you know, like in all good experiments, you keep the oxygen and the temperature constant, you have some fish swimming around, you add nitrogen, and when, you know, 5% of them die, then that's the 95% protection limit. But it's completely fake, because in reality, in a river in summertime, the water temperature is really high. The oxygen levels fluctuate because the algae levels are really high because of all the nutrients that are in the water. And the fish die at nitrogen levels that are, you know, 10 times lower than that toxic. It's like, I just think the best way to understand it is to think about the difference between the drink driving limit of blood alcohol and the lethal limit of blood alcohol for humans. And the toxic limit is for alcohol is the level that it kills you. But in the same with alcohol, we know that way less than the amount of alcohol that will kill you will impair you and cause you to, you know, die through other things like car crashes. So it's exactly the same. So that's a fake protection that they're talking about there. That's toxicity. It's actually a non-issue for the life of freshwater life in New Zealand, except in a few extreme cases.
One more number, a $700 million fund to create jobs in riparian and wetland planting.
Yeah, I mean, anything like that is valuable, but to me, if you spend that money on reducing the pollution, then you would have a permanent win. This is mopping up at the bottom while you're still polluting, so you can just keep spending money forever doing that kind of thing. I mean, I think the best example I can think of would be, you know, lakes that New Zealanders know well, Lake Taupo and Lake Rotorua, where we taxpayers and a bit from ratepayers have or are in the process of paying farmers not to farm intensively, not to have animals, but intensive dairy in those catchments to protect those two lakes. So we're paying them not to do it, which is, you know, I have some problems with. But actually what it does is it means that you stop the nutrients getting in there and then the lakes can recover. what we're talking about here is we'll allow the river to keep on getting polluted, but then we'll plant trees and things, and you can see that that just gets us nowhere. So much better off to pay farmers not to do it than to try and clean it up after.
Great to talk to you, Mike. Appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks, Jesse.
Freshwater ecologist from Victoria University of Wellington, Mike Joy, and his response to new plans from the government to improve freshwater quality.